On over and a continuation of Mid-City this Friday at supper, the 15th of October, 71. Channel 1 over and a continuation visit with Mid-City this Friday at supper, the 15th of October, 71. Channel 1 over and a continuation of the visit with Mid-City this Friday, the 15th of October, 71. Channel 1 right. Channel 1 over. And a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Friday night, Friday at supper, the 15th of October, 71.
News belt. Sold on it.
And this was an electric machine.
Mm-hmm. Let me check it out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was wooden ruler and sold up and down on me. Never had the machine, need another machine. I went back to the next day, I was going to fix French. Thank you. A pair of shorts. Fingers blames and oh, brother, if I'd have been a cursing woman, I'd have cursed that man.
You couldn't get it to go.
It worked like it. Every time I put on the credit, Frank said, "Mama, so maybe you use electricity too much. Maybe you, I was wrong. Just barely pressing that press on you." Every time I get my work like I wanted it, I kept working with that thing, working fine there. I did get him a pair of shorts made on, I think. I was made Monroe in there. But I made them both. Sports shirt, I received that. And it had all big, run flowers. It was just something like balls and toys and things like on them. And then I made me out. I think I made me one or two dresses, several aprons, done a lot of patching on. And it stuck the way it wouldn't sew. It'd break a needle. Just kept me buying needles, and needles were hard to find. I need me. Boy, if I'd have been, a rich, snorting, cursing woman, that man, he'd have been torment and back, and torment and back again, I was tomatoed. Couldn't get the blooming things to work, so I get up. And my niece, Ike Mixon's first wife, she come down there, and she was there. And she was there. She had one too, but hers was not, no. Hers was a cabinet style, but run by electricity. She had a garden. She used copper for table, you know. Mine, one of your suitcase tops on top of it. I said, I just feel like kicking my staff if I could all over Flemington and as far as I could go till I quit kicking. Quiet, bro. I said, if I could, I'd sure get the top back to my old machine back in there. The head channel pocket. She says, oh, we're going to get this thing to work. I says, you may. I said, but I worked with that blame thing till I am tired, disgusted, and wish that man had it to eat.
Why, it's tiring. I know what it is.
So that, Carol, I says, well, I mean it. She says, I believe you. And I said, well, I mean it. I believe you. Well, they all knew when my dad just got curled up there. Better not try to suggest anything, just let me cool off. Well, she worked for that thing, and she worked it. I said, you doing anything, Bob? of that perm, almost on the verge of what you said.
Yeah.
Said, I feel like if I could kick myself in the head of Jacksonville and back, I'd get that man by the nap at the back, and I'd just sling him try back where this machine come from.
Now that was your niece.
Mm-hmm. And my sister Rosalie's oldest daughter.
Oh, she married Ike Mixon?
I'd come out of service. And
Where'd you get that machine, Miss Tim?
Well, you see, we were over at Williston, they're showing that.
Oh, I see.
And they had a drawing contest.
Uh-oh.
And I drove a ticket, and it was a 50. Margaret drove, and I think that was 40 or 45. Of course, she wrote out the name down, and I read out the ticket. I'm like Margaret, I wish I never had been to show that night. I wouldn't have gotten all that money. The time I got that thing paid for, I bet I paid $300 or more for it.
Oh, you got $50 off on the machine.
That was mine. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I think I paid that and more, too.
Yeah. And then you still had trouble with it.
Still got it sitting right in the way now.
Oh, it's still right there.
I'm going to be settled for some of these days.
You still got that suitcase over it?
Yes, it's just like you walk in and say, this suitcase pack, pick it up, walk off his head.
Yeah.
And your old machine was a lot better.
And I was just fool forever letting them take that head. See, they beat me out of the head of my other machine.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I could eat them up right now and my teeth started falling out.
Well, that is something. They really got you, didn't they?
Yes. They rely on me so much for the head of them. Oh, one man says, let it go, one says, don't.
Yeah.
One says, let it go, one says, don't. And I wish I had a don't if you kept my old machine.
Because yeah.
I could work here.
Mm-hmm.
I could find out what its trouble was.
Sure.
I can't find out what this crazy thing.
Oh no.
And you can thread your bobbin. There he's a round bobbin. Thread them down. Put them down and thread them bobbin place. And thread your machine. I think you got something. Boy, when you start, it's a whack, 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 whack. Bringing out under your machine. Whoop. Just a pile of thread where it's just chewed and chewed and chewed and chewed.
That's right. I know.
You know what that is?
Yeah. Move it around.
And it bubbles you fine to work with it and get it straightened out. I don't know, I think I made, I never did make any of anything on that show. I got a little sewing machine, but,
I haven't got any of the fallout, Miss Kitty.
But Frankie and Betty Ann and myself. But brother, how many did I make on that other? Old pedal machine.
That old pedal machine,
and
it was
the
good.
The boys, if it get it out from the wall far enough, before they could get to one to get down there, he'd get hold of that arm piece, you know.
Yeah.
All right, just keep my foot on it, but if I got tired, well, I had a spell of sickness, and I had a lot of sewing to do. And it was that time for me to get ready, teach for school. All the boys would get down there, and I'd get garbage, you know, and get hold of that arm under there, and they keep going that way. And I'd have to about scream my head off to make them stop. Yeah. It was just so much fun to them.
Yeah.
And that's all, they were doing a lot for Mama then. Well, it was a lot of help. Because long then, my feet and legs would swell just as before I went to the doctor with the next time. But then, work around, I'd bathe my feet and legs and my knees down in as hot water as I could stand. Salts, Epsom salts, you know, as my stepmother said, physic salts.
Yeah.
And I'd take a big tooth salt. Well, yeah, before my feet and legs would be down just as pretty as they ever was. As they ever was pretty, but I thought they were pretty when they got all that digging.
You mean you'd soak them in it and then just take a dose too?
Yes. Salt, you know, it's good for your teeth if you don't take too much.
No. But you never run across that man that traded you in that old...
No, he broke me that. I told him. I said, that machine's been used before. Oh, no, no. It's like brand new from the factory.
Yeah.
I said, you know why I said it's been used before? He said, mm-hmm. I said, because they had sewing schools down here in Ocala. They've got a regular sewing room down there. And they've been... and red rid of the old machines, getting in new ones. He says, well, this one didn't come. And I says, well, your papers and everything else claims to come from so-and-so. He says, well, it is. I says, well, where does these old worked over machines come from? I was about to make him mad enough right there, take it back and whoosh down my head. I wouldn't have lost nothing.
But you talked to him straight, didn't you?
And so that thing ain't gonna be here no time before it's gonna be has to be sent to some machine place to be fixed. And he said, well, thank you, I do. And then you sew that needle through that thick belt of yours? He says, oh, yeah. Says, your belt ever break, just taking joint together here, like that. Get your little piece of it. So this is just as good as anything was. Thanks to the lane, I'll try mine on.
A belt?
Let it run.
And then you ran through the yard stick. Well, you know, right?
Why?
I just gonna break that needle. Oh no! I don't know if I haven't got the old ruler there now, something.
That he sewed on?
He just run, so he doesn't have no thread. Just he just.
I never heard of
that.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough to run. I don't know. I just let the old boy over him. If I'd have said no, I don't believe I want to.
Yeah.
And I don't think my daughter would want one either.
That $50 saving got you.
I says, no. I ain't put out my money on this. I says, now you can either give me my $50 for my prize or else. He said, no, I want to take this machine. I says, is that prize? It was $129, yes. I says, you allowing me the $50? Oh, I got them over. And that ticket. He says, well, it would be more than that if I wasn't putting the 50 on the machine. Yeah, he said, it is. Mm. I said, well, that's more than I'm going to be able to pay for. He said, well, you don't want to pay all at one time. Just pay it by the month. I says, I don't have any way of getting any money. Just take the machine, sew, make clothes, sew them, take in sew. And then you get away from here and I try that machine. I says, you get crossways with me. I says, I'm going to wash everything bad on you that I can. He said, Miss Chitty, please don't do that. I said, why? Don't phone me. I said, well, throw a patch on Frankie's shirt. Straight puckers up under there. Oh, yeah. Wherever you didn't fuck it up, it's like off it, didn't use it. Take it out. Pull this thread out enough to patch three or four garments with your fingers.
That's what you ought to do?
Oh, yes. I've gotten so mad at a machine. I used to sew on my mother's machine. She had a pedal one, and I liked it.
Mine, it would chop it up, chew it up. Never which way. I actually left the bit of my old teeth falling down, chewing and chomping. Margaret says, Mama says, you know what's called that? I says, well, it's because I've lost weight in my bones as well as the flesh, too, I reckon. But oh, brother, did I have a time learning to wear these things?
Oh, really?
I got up in the morning, put my teeth, washed them, put my teeth in my mouth. Went all day long. And night come, boy, I was glad to get that old broke outside cup for some water. Take them off, wash them off good, you know. Put them down and cover them up. Next morning, I said, I go on. Mama, where's teeth? That makes me sick on my stomach. Well, now, you know Rosalie's put out that money on them teeth. Why don't you wear them? I said, for one reason, I don't want to. The other reason, they make me sick on my stomach, to tell you. Well, after breakfast, you be sure and put them back in your mouth. I'll try. Maybe they'd come in at dinner time, I'd have them. Ooh. That could be just as good chirp my gums as I could. But when night come, and the only way I ever learned to wear my teeth was to sleep with them.
Oh, really?
And when I go to bed now and the bottom one hurts me, what's the matter? When I get up, see what's the matter with the teeth? Wash them off, rub them tongue around, my gums, you know. Yeah, kind of a soft place, but I still put them in a glass of water, or a couple. I've got a cup that I use for putting my teeth in. I'll put it in there. It feels so funny with the upper ones in there, not the bottom ones, you know. Now I put the upper ones in there. And I have gone to bed, and they'd bother me so bad till I'd taken these them out. Poor mommy. Run to get up and go get a glass or a cup for them. Oh, me and my past life had a time. But I reckon it was pretty good. Now my sister paid for my teeth during the war. I was in 44. Yeah, got my teeth in 44. Because the boys didn't come home in 46, you know, I'd say. I'd learned to use them to bite and chop with, all right. foot that keeps in a mat and stay in a mat. We can get him back in the next one. Did I find it? Son, who was it told me? Because I tell you, Miss Jesus, I didn't admire my teeth much either. Then I couldn't, look like I just couldn't wear them. Well, it seemed like there was some man in here talking about dentures, you know. He says they're hard to get used to. He says, but if you ever want to get used to them, it's hard to do without them. And I went down now that night. I ain't seen nothing. I washed off, just, you know, put them in my cup. And I didn't put them back in my mouth. I lay in the bed now, clamped down, as I wish they never had a gotcha. Didn't cost me a penny. Well, Rosalie paid for them.
Now, your sister Rosalie, she never had trouble like that. She was buying things. She's not peppery like you, is she? She never gets put out.
Sometimes she would. Sometimes she'd get off on the wrong foot and wish so and so was there where she'd bless them.
And you'd hear from her?
And she'd do something right and you.
Yeah.
She naturally born. Cuss them out to come around her with things that she didn't like. And take it and get too sore.
Oh.
You know, she worked 22 or 24. I think it's 22 years, maybe. Might have been more years in the glass plant up there in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's where she got her start.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, her husband, he worked at the Seaboard Coastline. Say, right. Well, they lived here, and the Seaboard Shops was here. Glass plant was over there.
Oh.
And she worked at night. And she had to work at night. She'd always try to get off early enough, you know, so she wouldn't have to walk over there in the yard. Sometimes some of her friends and neighbors would come by and pick her up in a car. They all worked there. Bossy, he'd be home reading his paper. And stay there with him and the kids. Him and Frank would stay there and talk and all. But I was with my Rosalie's glass. I'd wash them bottles.
Oh.
And they put that glass in up there in the sand and stuff that they made it easy. Watch them when they begin to make. Put them in the form, and they'd come down and had things, you know, just kept them. Everything was automatic. But they didn't at that time, when I was going over there so much, they were in just an old, framed up place where they were working. And they had two or three layers. That's what the bottles that come down out of that machine, right on down in layers. Well, she worked one, and another woman worked another one. And I think another one worked the other one. They were all right. right, just like this table here, one of them, over here. Just a little place in between, you know. Maybe that and over there to holler out. You gotta have a little help here.
Get behind.
Get behind with the bottle. Well, they always put a brick down, you know, for the last layer to come out of the machine. And they holler. I'm thinking what would be hollering on. Along them roadies, she'd pucker up her mouth and whistle a keen whistle and up at the top, and then some of them would go running. You just have to hold up a little bit. Don't make them so fast we can't get them all packed. You know, they got taking bottles up. I suppose it was there. You see that? I can't tell you anything about it myself because I never noticed enough.
Oh, she would examine it.
She tells us there's anything wrong with it all.
Yeah.
Anything wrong with that bottle? She says, you know, that bottle ought to have gone back, ought to have been thrown in the barrel and broke. That's what they do. When they didn't come out perfect, well, they stick in, boom, down. It's as pretty as that, and they have had some come out on them layers. You wouldn't believe it, but I do. I didn't until I seen it.
Yeah.
I was there with them one time. Me and Frank was upstairs yesterday. You know these little tiny packed milk bottles?
Yeah.
Little. That's what I did have. One, I think I got one there now. I don't know if mine's a daddy and hadn't got them up there. It come out, but it didn't shape up like it does there. And the mouth of the bottle is kind of drilled in, and then extends out like picture your lip, you know, just maybe it's kind of squish like.
Yeah.
So it didn't fill up like it. It didn't bow up, I mean.
Yeah.
And it's right amazing. You stand there and watch that glass come down and it drops in the mold. You can see it drop from that into the mold, and next thing you know, that's box.
Yeah.
And I'd stand and look at that, watch them, watch the bottles, jars, mostly jars they were making when I'd be there. Quart jars, pint jars. And these big half-gallon jars. Well, they were all fruit jars, except, I don't know, they might have made big ones for fruit jars, too. Oh, they were half-gallon jars. Like that one, you know, cert jar?
Yeah.
And things like that, they'd make them, well, grab them up, she'd get two up times before rolling things, and had to wear gloves. And she'd roll them things around, kind of throw them, twist it around, around. Then she'd put her hands over the mouth up, and threw this one around. And they were all right. They went on. But she picked up one that had, almost had it, but then she picked it up. Kind of that way, you know, she had the mouth at the bottom of that, and her hand. Look at the bottom, she turned them that way. And she turned both faces to come out of the mold. Bang! Keep looking, next thing. It went on, went to be packed. And one night, the first night, I didn't go to sleep on. Too much amusement.
Oh, yeah.
I just walked in. I looked. She said, "Sis, if you don't sit down, you're going to get your tank. You won't feel like walking home." I said, "Well, I just got to see." She says, "Well, you're going to get to come back over here again." So sit down and read your funny books. I kept several of the kids' funny books over. Really, I was crazy about funny books, didn't I?
Oh, you love funny books.
Mm-hmm. I'd sit down there and I'd read and read and read, and I'd put books down. And yet, I'd go to stock and young, and I wasn't satisfied. I just, well, she said, "Well, now listen, because you don't go down that way too far. Don't go that way too far unless I'm with you." I said, "The book of man will get in the car, the rest of the lady in." And no, there were two trailers. And they had to have help over on that other trailer, because they just piled up on him too. And they got over there and they had to look. Rosalie says, "Well, my God, you might as well throw them all in the barrel. Sam! Sam! Granny, what you doing?" "Breaking jaws." "Then why are you breaking?" "They ain't no good." Mm-hmm. And then Esther, she had packed jars, packed bottles. Mm-hmm. And all the work she'd done on them layers, they put another woman in, put her up to check the boxes that was packed. And if she found one bad jar in any of them, she didn't have to do nothing but find one bad jar, mark it. The whole layer. And that would be about six, oh, I don't know, maybe more, boxes of jars now. That one box being examined, well, they had been having trouble, jars being sent back. It wasn't first. And there was, they had too many flaws in them or something. And that finally turned out to be her job. Was inspecting the jars. And they know they'd better look at them good and not slap them in boxes or she turn them in.
Oh.
I didn't realize it that much.
No.
She just, well, she knew when she found what she told Boston. Went over to her phone and called him down, you know, from the office down. One box here on this lay, it's got a bad jaw to you. He says, "How bad, Patsy?" "Or Granny." "Come on, see for yourself. You're supposed to be the real man to know what's going through." "No, I ain't, because I wish you had my job." She says, "Well, I put in here, got it. And I know a jar's not perfect. Who else is that to blame but the one that passed it?" He looked through, and they went through several boxes. And for near one of the boxes, they didn't put three to four bed jars in. And they just taking, anyway, it was something he marked when he started at the top of that layer. We went all around. Back. And they called another man down at the other end. They could talk on the phone, you know, but it was so hard to hear. He says, I want you to come take this top layer of fruit jars off of this flat. He says, come get them now. I want to see what's in the next layer that's under this. Rosalie said, one time they had bring me a whole flat. That's the boxes, I reckon. Well, that high. You know what fruit jar box is.
Yeah.
That high. Down to where the leg was, where they had them on that thing. So, he says, well, says, if this one's bad, and that one's bad, he says, the rest of them bound to have some bad ones, and says, hook it up and carry it on out. Have them recheck.
And you was ass off all that.
I seen some of it, but this was what she had to do after I quit going up there. You know.
And she told about it.
Mm-hmm. But I seen her checking them. Well, she says, yes, no, I don't sound perfect. Says they might have in all of my packing of jars and bottles, I might have let one or two slip by me unbeknownst. Says I didn't do it because they didn't want to change anything.
Well, I remember, Mary Kitty, first time I got out in a cucumber field patch. I went, these were people that had been picking cucumbers all their life. And somehow I got in there behind them, and I could go along and just find one cucumber right after another. And, they told me. They said, you just, no matter how careful you are, you just can't get all the cucumbers.
Mm-hmm. Can't.
Yes.
Not much for a vine.
See, that's
I had been out in the garden where Frank had had, now this is my husband, Frank, would have his garden planted. Maybe a little corn off in the field, like, you know, some. Not too far, but what I could go to it and get the vegetables when I want. And he has maybe three or four rows of cucumbers. And another one. Maybe watermelons. Maybe he has three or four rows of watermelons. Okay. And then cucumber vines and watermelon vines, they get running together all over the field and all over the patch.
Yeah.
One day he told me, so then he says, come on out here and let's pick these cucumbers and y'all can eat what you want. Give some of them away if you want to, or you can pick them. And that was back before we got the house we're living in now. Of course, we're living in it, but we just tore it down and turned it around. And we'd go in, I've got down on my knees and raise them vines up to see what I was hitting on cucumbers or not. He'd come wrong by, Nanny, you've left some cucumbers. Yeah.
How about that?
And I raised the vine up. I didn't see nothing. Get over there. I said, yonder's two, three, four, five, maybe a half a dozen over there wrapped up around that watermelon. There's no watermelon. He says, "Are you sure it ain't a watermelon, Eula?" I says, "I see him." I says, "Looks like a half a dozen cucumbers and one little tiny watermelon." Get over there and get a pick. Turn around. "Are you left cucumber back there, Daddy?" And then you get around where I had been.
Yeah.
"Thank God, man, you ain't even picking the cucumber."
Yeah.
I says, "You picked wrong yet, too." He says, "When?" I says, "A while ago." I says, "How come I left him? You left him. Now who's going to come along and find more?" And three rows of cucumbers. Made all the cucumbers we need to pickle and give to our neighbors. And that's something Frank Chitty and Frankie Chitty is going to do. If he's got enough to spread out, he's going to buy it with his neighbors. I wish they had a patch now of tender musk growing about that high, you know.
Oh, man.
Going on, pick out the dickens. I'd get them to get Margaret to wash and fix them for dinner tomorrow.
I'd love some myself.
You would? And I don't like asparagus and I don't like spinach.
But you take mustard. Kind of green.
I like mustard. I like collard greens. And too about turnips. And I like cabbage.
Yeah.
I like celery. I like lettuce.
Yeah.
I like big bell peppers. And I like little long hot peppers too, but stinky, you know?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to eat the hot ones.
Did you all raise lettuce in your garden?
Well, years ago we did.
That's what I mean. We'd have lettuce, but it never would head out like the kind you buy.
That's the way I was for.
It was sort of loose, but it was good. Especially with a little meat juice on it.
And a little,
Vinegar
and maybe an egg beat up.
Yeah.
And put the vinegar in it. That is the yolk of the egg, you know, beat the yolk up good. Put that raw vinegar in it, the salt and pepper. Think about these things when you ain't allowed to eat them.
Yeah. Now that, yeah. And that's just as good eating as you need. The seasoning is as you need.
And with the, well, I like good, hard, firm, white-head cabbage like them. And I like them where they're good, firm and hard, and they've got a good bit of green, you know. They ain't all white. And the green leaves outside is still tender. I like them.
Yes.
And I don't like squash, though.
None of it?
No way, no kind, shape, form, or fashion.
Oh, damn fine.
I used to be crazy about eggplants. When I was a kid, when my mother would get them and cook them, boy, I couldn't get enough of them.
Yeah.
And something else. And okra, I like that. I reckon I'd slip up in here so I just couldn't see where I was going. I like it so well. Well, now, you know, my mother and father and two neighbors, different. Two families, you know, different. And let me see. There's somebody I remember Mama telling me. Now, I didn't see it, just hearing what my mother said. And somebody says, you know, I could eat a wash pot cooked full of okra in the pot. I don't want it cut up. I just want it cooked good and tender and done seasoned in the wash pot. Stick my fork, go and pick it out by the pot.
Yes.
Papa says, I know where I can get the okra. This man says, well, I got the wash pot. And the other fellow that said he could eat a wash pot for me. So Papa went and got the okra. And there's another one, too, another neighbor. And to Papa and Mama, and then there's another man and his wife, another man and his wife. And that. Anyway, it says before they got through cooking that okra, well, 2-3 of them went and bought the okra from this man that was raising. Some of them says, well, I don't know. If I know I could eat a quart. I don't know how much I can eat, but I put some of it away. Papa says, well, I ain't going to tell you what I can eat. He says, but I do love it. So they got started. They got to okra cooked. And I think Mama and one of her neighbors, one of them wanted biscuit with their okra. Another one wanted cornbread with their okra. Mama could take plain, didn't have it all doctored up like it did now. Baking powder and salt. She just take, well, she put salt in, but she wouldn't put no baking powder, no flour, no nothing. Put it on the, and they had the place you fixed, you know, where you put the griddle. griddle for baking bread. And they'd make a batter like thick enough that it wouldn't run off. And just thick enough that when it got to the edge, around the edge of the pan, you could take a pancake turner or a big long blade knife and run under that.
Flip it over.
And I can get done. Now there's another radio behind me. Power them up. Mama said she bet they must have 20 size thin hoe cake. The cornbread cooked on one, just left it on one of the griddles, you know. And I don't know how many pots of coffee they were making, I had made. And some of them says, well, says, all we need is a good bottle of gin or something. Papa says, nope. Mama says, Papa says, no, we don't need no strong drink, no stronger than coffee.
No spirits.
He says, I want to eat one mess of okra without smelling whiskey and wines and beer. And the whole laughs at him, you know. Said, well, Ed says, what's the matter with you and the drinks? He says, you just don't go with it. Is this cornbread and okra? One of them says, well, yes, but so-and-so said he could eat the wash pot full. Says, well, are we going to get ours from if he eats all the Papa says, he's just saying that, because there ain't seen nobody yet that could eat a wash pot of oak. And it was great. Big one. I don't know, but 4-5 gallon wash pot. See, I wasn't now. I'm just got what Mama and Papa said. I'm just telling the, as little boy said, I'm just telling the tale Papa and Mama tell. And said they had this, and some of the families had some hot pepper sauce. You had a little, we call it Worcester. But little think it's a long, thin, red, green, yellow peppercorn, you know, head in the bottle.
Yeah.
It's just as hot as pepper could get.
Yeah.
And some head mild, pepper, so. And I'll go down and the pop it right first, you know, dishing out okra and just flicking on the floor. I had used bowls, you know. He says, boy, he says, I feel like if the pot was cooled off where I could get in, I'd just go sliding right on down. Just right on down. I just eat okra as long as I was sliding.
I never heard of that.
I never did either.
Now, you know, I love okra, especially when it's tender, you know, and these little pods, you know, before it gets that big. I could just eat just plain okra, see. It don't have to be much seasoning. I just love it. And I don't know where I got the feeling that way about okra. Because you don't find many people that likes okra. Because they all think it's slimy.
I never have been able to taste it. I told him one time, I said, well, I'll tell you how I learned to taste it. How's that, Amper? I said, put your piece of bread in your mouth before you do your okra. I said, then you can taste the okra.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
One of my girlfriends, she liked it. And she liked to see us eat on the pod, you know, take it out. I can't eat that one since I'm loose stem cap and all. Cause I wouldn't know where to bite it off at.
Well, maybe
I just take it up this way by the stem and I get it out, come down the teeth, cap comes off, okra goes on.
maybe they didn't need to cook it so much. And then it gets goes apart. Just cook it to where it's tender, and you can pick up a part, like you say, with a stem, and eat it.
Go with your fork, you know. And about. Oh, when I was up at Callahan and Frankie Ked, me and Danny and Betty and went up there, you know, since I come out of the hospital. On Sunday, they had a whole lot of company. One of Rosalie's son-in-law's, the one she's staying with, Joe, his sister and his mother and his stepfather come down, and they wasn't looking for him. And they got him a place over at Callahan, you know, one of them.
Motel? Yeah.
Yes, motel. Hotel. I was trying to think of hotel, motel. And I think my mind just come over.
So they had to stay at a place like that.
He's they got him a place over there, and he's his stepfather and his mother and sister. And then they were at some group, some of Joe's friends, Rosie's grandchildren. Anyway, they were out there at dinner Sunday, and I don't know, Rosalie and them wasn't looking for a crowd. Just us, you know. Lo and behold, Sunday morning, up in there piling out like bees after honey. And Rosalie said, she said, my goodness, I didn't know all this was going to happen.
But she liked it.
Yes, yeah, she liked it. And Connie and I think some of them went to Joe's mother and stepfather and sister. But then here comes some more. I thought it one time knew them when they were younger, but they married, 2-3 young ones are hanging around. And Barbara, her other daughter, lives back towards the highway in her trailer, sitting back here. Well, Connie's and Joe's is back here. And they're going to build Rosalie's little frame house, kind of out in there. And Bennett, Barbara's husband, they're working out. Then he got into, they said hornets, but hornets don't build in this, it's down on the ground. And they got them a big old, it's like plastic. Mm-hmm. And it hangs up in trees. I read most all I have seen hung up trees. I take my distance. And I think so it was worse than yellow jackets probably. But anyway, poor old Bennett, he was just over the headstone, his arms going to fall up, right? And he had one of his shorts, you know, like men wear when it's hot weather. He was strung all around on his legs. But that's
I don't want any more of that.
You had enough of that.
I had enough of that.
See? Aunt Rosalie's daughter married Ike Mixon.
That's the one that married Ike Mixon.
Oh.
Then she married her.
So they are, and then you see, Miss Kitty's friend, Miss Lily, Mixon. You see, Willie married one of her children.
That's
Willie
right.
Married one of her daughters. My niece married her son.
Well, you son.
Why?
I say,
your
Willie,
niece, yeah,
my son,
yeah,
married one of her daughters.
Yeah.
And my nephew, my niece, married one of her sons.
Who's your niece?
Barbara.
Aunt Rosalie's daughter.
I'm standing
in
the
time. Aunt Rosalie's oldest girl.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
She
yes.
Married Ike. His family kept on. And you couldn't find out who was causing the trouble. So Bob broke my leg. A big family like that can sure cause you a lot of trouble, and you can't stand if you roll up a ball of yarn or ball of string and you lose, you end up here and keep rolling and you get one of that end to come out, just, you can't find it, so that's where it is. They just kept Barbara and I kind of stewing and stumble all the time.
But I see, I don't know Ike.
But after they had separated, after Barbara left, got a divorce, he met Rosalie, I think, somewhere. Where he said? He told you, he said, you know, he said, Miss Paget, he said, I still love Barbara, because I believe I always will.
Yeah.
And I can. I can't. I know Joe come to the hospital, him and Connie. Well, Barbara come the same day. But I can't remember seeing Bennett. They were all, they were getting the week off because it was the week of the 4th.
They're going to have a picnic over there, Faye, and get everybody there so we
can. That's
know
right. So we
talk about it.
And that's.
But as I was going to say, we was eating dinner that last Sunday, went up to Callahan. And they cooked okra. They cooked it in the pod like Rosalie knew how I like to cook.
Yeah.
And I put on my table, I said, a dish of potato salad and old potatoes just different ways. And all I had to do was salt suit my taste. And something else. I had a bowl of squash. Somebody says, Aunt Pearl says, that's some squash. Yes, some squash. I says, well, if you got something that'll fit in that place better than squash, you can take squash off and put that other bowl there that'll fit that. Barbara says, didn't I tell you so? Says, Aunt Pearl don't eat squash. Says, I don't care how you fix them. Says, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Says, you can cook them. And you can eat them and feel like you're going to swallow your tongue. Says, but she won't eat. So we was eating okra then. Rosalie, she come got up on that side in the there. Well, she and the girls, you know, they were just going from table to table.